plate a potential nugget.
And you use the terms smart trust, Stephen. What are some of the guardrails we need to have along the way, just so that we are pragmatic in the way we live the trust and inspire paradigm?
Yeah. Two domains. First domain is kind of as you look at the trust you're going to extend, and then we'll talk about how you extend it. Hmm. So when you decide to extend trust, start with the propensity to trust, the bias, the inclination that flows from your heart. I want to be trusting as a leader. But by itself, you could trust too much, right? And maybe give people too much responsibility and they're not ready for it. They're not skilled at it. They don't have the capabilities yet. You know, there's too much risk. So you can go too far. And I acknowledge that. So you're trying to use good judgment. You're trying to set everyone up to win. And so you start with the heart, but then you balance it with the head. So the propensity to trust balance with the analysis or the assessment. And I'm assessing three things. First, the opportunity. What am I extending trust on? That's the job to be done. Maybe I'm going to say people you can work from home or work remotely or in a hybrid thing, and I trust you, you know. Or maybe it's I trust this person. I trust Deepak to lead this team or to lead this project. What am I extending trust on? What's the opportunity? Second, what's the risk involved? What could go wrong? How likely is that? What's the cost and consequence of that? And third, what is the credibility of the person or the people involved? How ready are they for this? And look, if something is lower in risk and the person is very high in credibility, you can be very abundant in trusting and give a lot of trust. If something is, there's a lot of risk involved, and the person's brand new and their credibility is not established, you're going to be far more measured and give a smaller amount of trust. It wouldn't be smart to just completely trust someone on a huge risky situation. You know, I wouldn't ask, if I needed brain surgery, I wouldn't ask my family doctor who I trust to perform brain surgery because they're not a brain surgeon. They're not skilled. They're not in that, even though I trust them as a family doctor. That's beyond their expertise. That wouldn't be smart. So so I'm just trying to scope it, size it up. It's good judgment. It's not a one size fits all. And so I'm trying to make sure that as I extend trust, I'm doing it in a smart way, setting people up to win, including our team, myself, and them. The second is then that's the first domain, good judgment in the extension of trust. Mm-hmm. The second is then a good process in extending that, in building the agreement together. Because whenever you extend trust, you want to make sure you always do it with clear expectations around the trust being extended and with an agreed upon process of accountability to those expectations. Mm-hmm. And I'm calling that collectively building the agreement around the trust being extended with expectations, with accountability. And if you do that well, so that it's not dictated. It's not you just top down command and control saying, here's the expectations and here's the accountability. I'm going to come back here and see how you're doing. Instead, it's a two-way process of here's what we're trying to do. What do you think? Does this seem fair? Does it seem realistic? You build it together. It does take a little bit of time, but you'll go fast later. You create the expectations around desired results, around guidelines, around resources, what we have to work with, guidelines, within what limits, desired results. What is it that we're after? Then we build a process for accountability. How will we know how we're doing? And you can move it. You can move it from you judge them to they judge themselves against the expectations that we built together. They can evaluate themselves and report back to you. They feel far more ownership. And then you can be informed and still in control, but not through micromanagement, rather through an agreement you built together. And then you also talk about the consequences involved. Mm-hmm. So expectations and accountability. So smart trust is always, whenever I extend trust to people, there's clear expectations and an agreed upon process for accountability. So if someone's working from home, I trust them because we built expectations of got to get the results. Here's what we're trying to do. Here's the guidelines, resources. Here's the accountability. Report back. in these ways. You know, you build it together. They're committed to it. They perform better around it. They become more creative. And that's so much better than dictating it, saying, do this, do that, do this, because then you become responsible for the results, not them, if you're telling them the methods they should use. Mm. And so you'll get more creativity. You'll get more growth and development. You'll get better results and outcomes. But you got to build the agreement together. That's how you extend the trust. And we go deep in this in the book, as you know, from reading it, of building a stewardship agreement around the trust being extended.
If this topic is of interest, you might like the book Give and Take by Adam Grant, where he speaks about how we can be a smart giver. While it's a slightly different topic, some of the themes are similar to what Stephen discusses here. Thank you for listening.